So this is Barbara Brown Taylor, who's written many books for grown-ups, but today she gave us a special book for you to hear. And sometimes the grown-ups in our life, they get so busy that they forget to pause and hear the story too. So we're going to share it with them now. And it comes from the Bible, if you wonder where it comes from, but this is a special version. And I don't know if can everybody see? Here we go. All good stories start like this. Once upon a time, there were three very wise men who were all sitting in their own countries, minding their own business, when a bright star lodged in the right eye of each one of them. The star was so bright that none of them could tell whether it was burning in the sky or in their own imaginations. But they were wise enough to know it did not matter all that much. The point was, something beyond them was calling them, and it was a tug they had been waiting for all their lives.
Each in his own country had tried books, tried magic, tried astrology. One had lived on nothing but dried herbs boiled in water. Another had spent his entire fortune learning how to read and write in an ancient language. The third had learned to walk on hot coals, though it did nothing for him beyond the great sense of relief he felt at the end. Despite their best efforts, all three of them still felt that something was missing.
They were all glad for a reason to get out of town, which was clearly where the star was calling them, out away from everything they knew how to manage and survive, out from under the reputations they had built for themselves, the high expectations and the disappointing returns. And so they set out, one by one, each believing that he was the only one with a star in his eye, until they all ran into one another on the road to Jerusalem.
From a distance, each thought the other was a mirage, at first a twinkling of just vapor and heat. But as they drew near to one another, they saw the star they had in common, like a tattoo or a secret handshake, something that made them brothers before they spoke. They all believed that the star was leading them to Jerusalem. This made perfect sense because they had every reason to believe they were on their way to meet a king.
They had no trouble gaining access to the palace. They looked rich, and that was enough to get them a royal audience. But the king they met was something of a disappointment. He was lumpy and rumpled, and he had terrible breath. His skin looked a funny orange color and sickly, as if his bile had gotten the best of him. The guards on either side of him shook in fear of their king, so much that their spears rattled against their shields. Without even comparing notes, the wise men knew he was not the person they were looking for. "Do you know of any other kings in the general area?" they asked him. He had been picking at his fingernails until then, letting them know how bored he was, but their question got his attention. He looked right at them for the first time. That was when he saw the star in each of their eyes. His own eyes grew perfectly round like the eyes of a snake.
The king asked the wise men if they would please excuse him for a moment. Then he stepped into his private chapel to confer with his clergy. They whipped out their old reference books, which smelled of mold, and told the king what he wanted to know. "Yes," they said, "there was something in the book of Micah about a new ruler in Israel, but nothing to get excited about. It was short. It had been there for a long time. It was unlikely that the men in the other room were fulfilling that prophecy. But sure, why not send the wise men to Bethlehem to check it out, to save the king a little money instead of doing his own research?"
So that was what the king did. He gargled, he combed his hair, and he went back to tell the wise men that they should go to Bethlehem at once with his blessing, on one condition, that they come back and tell him who his successor was, so he could send flowers to the new king. His breath smelled like pine saw when he said it, which made the wise ones feel queasy. They knew something wasn't right, but once they were back out in the night air, they could see the star in the sky again, and it set their minds at rest.
Followed the star right to the doorway of a one-room house in Bethlehem. It was a perfectly nice place, modest but well-built, though not the kind of place where they had expected to find a king. A dog was sniffing the woodpile under the eaves in hopes of a mouse. Someone was practicing the lute next door, going over the same notes again and again. The smell of dinner was still in the air, wheat cakes cooked on a griddle greased with sheep's fat, and lentils with lots of garlic and rice.
"The place looked so simple, they might never have chosen it themselves. But since the star had chosen it for them, they knocked. When the door opened, the couple standing behind it almost died of fright. Not that the wise men noticed. With their arms full of gifts, they crowded into the small space, bumping their turbans on the rafters and snagging their robes on the rough furniture. All they could see was the baby, who was not afraid and whose right eye shone with the same star they had seen before they ever left home."
"It was him. Then, whoever he was, they did not have a clue, but they knew what to do. They got on their knees and they bowed their heads."
Offered there in his
Then they gave him the things that they had brought for him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All the wrong things they could see now, things that he had no use for. They should have brought him goat's milk, a warm blanket, and something shiny to hang above the crib. But how could they have guessed? The child's parents were gracious. They thanked the strangers for their expensive gifts and held them up for the baby to see.
Then, to the wise men's complete surprise, the child's mother picked him up and handed him around so that each of them held that damp, soft, living weight in his own arms. When they were finished admiring him, she took the baby back, nursed him, and put him to bed. Then, before the light coming through the window of the house had entirely gone out, the three wise men fell asleep right where they sat.
But in the morning, when they woke, the wise men could not find their stars anywhere. They searched each other's eyes, but the stars had gone. Frantically, they looked in all the corners of the house and under the chairs, and the baby's mother even shook out his blankets, but still no stars.
Soon, the wise men calmed down and said, "Never mind, we don't need them anymore." They had found what they were looking for, something they could not lose. As much as they hated to, they added, "They'd better be on their way." They would not be going back through Jerusalem, they said. All three of them had woken from the same identical dream, warning them to steer clear of the city. If anyone in Jerusalem knew anything at all, they would have been here instead. Besides, none of the wise men's old maps worked anymore. They would have to find a new way home.
So they picked up their packs, which were lighter than before. Then they lined up in front of the baby to thank him for the gifts he had given them. "What in the world are you talking about?" the baby's mother said, laughing. "They thanked him for the scent and weight and skin of a baby," said the first wise one, who had no interest in living on herbs anymore. "For this home and the love here," said the second one, who could not remember how to say it in an ancient language. "For a really great story," said the third wise man, who thought that telling it might do a lot more for him than walking on hot coals.
Then the wise men walked outside. They stretched, they kissed the baby goodbye, and went home by another way.
And this story, well, it continues. This story is an invitation for us to go home by another way. For Mary and Joseph were never the same. And that baby grew to be a man whose love changed the world.